Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Sarah Michelle Gellar of Buffy the Vampire Slayer fame.
Welcome to We Stand Together, a pop culture academic symposium.
Yeah, we're the pop culture professors. We are smart people, dumb topics.
Yep, yep, yep. And sometimes we're also dumb topics ourselves. You know, I think that's fair to say, don't you?
You really bring that on yourself a lot. Like,
yeah,
you,
yeah.
You're self-loathing at the top of the show. Is this become a consistent feature?
Do you think it's gotten to the level of like a true cry for help, or like how would you categorize it?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a cry. You know, whether we're going to answer or not, you know, that's up to us as the people on this call, as well as the listeners later. Yeah. But I think for right now, I'm just going to acknowledge.
Okay,
and move along because of the whole show thing.
Well, that's why you're such an excellent professor of pop culture, Caitlin.
So true. And I am Caitlin Bitsagai. You are Lauren Brickman.
It's true. Thank you for confidently telling me who I am, because it has been a struggle.
I could feel a veer off.
Thank you. Take me sternly by the neck and just steer me in the right direction.
Like a cat.
Yeah.
So we are here to talk about standing today, though, Lauren. That is something I feel confident you can explain.
Well, I think when I share my stand of the week, everyone's going to understand why I'm already just so unhinged, because I have not recovered from what was the penultimate moment of my life.
And penultimate. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Because
so specific.
Yeah. It's the second greatest thing that will ever happen to me, I think. I'm going to cry. So I was in LA for the Los Angeles Latino International Film Festival, and got to see The Father of the Bride premiere.
Wow.
Starring Gloria Estefan. Yes, she was there. It was amazing. But then the next morning at 5 a.m. when I was on my plane back to New York, she was out there tweeting. She was on these internet streets tweeting. And at 5 a.m. I was like, I'm going to tweet right back at her and let her know how great she was. And she responded. And Gloria and I, at 5 in the morning, we were having a moment on Twitter together. So this week, my stand of the week goes to Gloria Estefan. The rhythm got me at a young age and it never let me go. And I love her. And she's such a good actor. I hope she's in a million more movies.
Wow, you're coming out of the dark and into the light of Twitter. A place notorious for making people feel great.
Yeah. Listen, I've been riding high on this for a week.
As you should. So she was good in the movie. Has she done a lot of acting?
No.
No.
That was what my tweet at her was. I go, I hope this is just the first of many movies you're going to do. And she was like, it was so special. And I was like, you're special. And I really mean it. You know? Anyways.
I agree. I think millions of fans all over the world.
Yeah. She's really talented and very beloved.
So you've discovered a new star on the rise.
Well, no, I discovered her at like age two. I was popping on those albums and dancing around my mom's house from a young age. Mm-hmm. I just forgot how much I loved her and I was reminded of it. Thank God. You know?
And that's what this movie is probably there to serve.
Yeah. Anyways, if you need me, I'll be watching it on a loop once it drops on HBO Max.
Okay.
So please don't call.
That'd be good.
Please don't call me.
Okay. I'll be for busy. Those of you who may be reaching out to Lauren because of the cry for help, do it before this drops on HBO Max because you're not going to get through.
Yeah. And we're not sponsored by HBO Max, but I will tell you it does drop on June 16th in case you're wondering.
Okay. All right. Scale it back.
So, Caitlin, get me out of the hell I've created for myself and tell me what you're standing this week.
Well, funny enough, the title of what I'm standing this week really dovetails nicely with what you're going through emotionally. I am standing a strange loop. I'm also not the first person to discover this small indie project, as it recently won the Tony for Best Musical. But I saw it right before. It's really fantastic. And I feel like you always know which one is going to win the Tony.
Yeah.
But it's not always the one that you're like, yeah, it flat out should. And there were some other good ones. Like Six was amazing this year as well. Mm-hmm. But Strange Loop, Run, Don't Walk. And it's so funny. Mm. It's like very powerful, but also very funny.
I can't wait to see it. Okay. I actually have, we have to get through this episode really fast. I've got a lot to accomplish before Father of the Bride drops.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, then let's welcome someone else that we can't wait to see more of. Today's guest, Gianmarco Cerezzi. Welcome.
Hello.
We were looking at your resume and we had a real beautiful mind moment. And, we realized that you are part of something that we think about every single day of our lives. And that is the movie Hustlers.
I was hoping you were going to say my web series from 2011, but yeah. Sure, Hustlers.
That is a second favorite of ours.
We'll bring you back for that episode as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. But Caitlin and I famously have been thinking about Hustlers since we saw it in Jersey City and continue to wonder what genre the film is. But we're not going to focus all of our energy on Hustlers today. We are opening it up to just strippers in film.
Which I have to say, I had so much fun preparing for this episode. So thank you ahead of time. Yes, we famously, as the audience knows, saw Hustlers for my birthday after eating at the Cheesecake Factory. So really banner day.
And you know, it's a topic we personally felt really connected to, and we know that you are beyond connected to because of your iconic star turn in the film. But Caitlin, you have a really exciting credit this week for why you sort of
Yes, we like to put our listeners at ease, tell them why, you know, our connection. Mine is funny. Mm-hmm. The only acting project I was ever in that I warranted having a stand-in, the stand-in was a stripper named Secret. Nice gal. I really like her name.
Yeah, I love that. I love Secret. I wonder if Secret is the stripper who saved my cell phone at Christmas.
Could be. I mean, she went by Secret. Like, it wasn't like her like stripper name. Like, it was just like around.
That was just her name. Okay.
So I don't know what if she used a different stage name.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Well, because my cell phone was famously saved by a stripper who found it in the back of an Uber. But that's not my credit this week, as exciting as that was. My credit this week is that, never forget, I came dangerously close to being in Magic Mike Live in Vegas.
Wow.
Dangerously close.
They were looking to replace the MC and were thinking about going in a different direction. And for 24 hours, I was pinned. And then hours before I was supposed to take my Zoom call with Channing, they told me I was released. That they decided to not change gears and that the understudy was going to move up to take over the main girl's role. And they were just going to stick with the plan that they had.
Oh my.
What does the MC do in that show? Like, would you have like danced with them?
She's like the narrator that's sort of like stringing together the loose given circumstances of why everyone is on this fantastical journey. It was one of the wildest auditions I've ever been to. And I laughed the whole time. I was like, what am I doing here? And then when they called and they're like, how quick could you move to Vegas? I was like, I mean, probably pretty quick. It was wild.
This is such a sliding doors moment. You could have a totally different life.
Yeah.
Vegas is tough. Oh, I was in Vegas for a week recently. That was a rough, I don't know what it is, but everything about Vegas rubbed me the wrong
way.
Wrong way. I mean, I was staying at a casino.
Yeah.
And, and maybe if I had left that area, but it felt like that was everything. Everything's trying to scam you. The Wi-Fi costs money. Starbucks, $8 for a coffee. It was everything I hate about capitalism on cocaine.
You're right. And Caitlin, this is I think I would have really thrived there. I think I would have built an empire.
Yeah. No, and I'm assuming this was pre-pandemic, so you would have been there during COVID. And that...
Yeah.
That's a book you could have published then. So you're so many milestones behind because of that understudy just being kind of good enough to stick around.
Yeah, they decided they didn't want to reinvent the wheel. And I guess...
I actually uncovered in research for this podcast that there is a website called magicmikecasting.com where both male dancers and female comedians can apply. Mm-hmm. Because they have the Vegas show, the tour.
They do. And about 2 months ago now, I was asked if I wanted to re-audition. And I said, I'm not in a place where I feel comfortable doing that again. At this time, I could not move to Vegas in 24 hours. So I didn't. I let that sliding door close.
Wow. But what if you were a special request of Channing?
If Channing wants me at this point, he's going to have to call me himself. Because, listen, you can't pin me.
Gauntlet thrown down.
Listen, Channing. Ah!
And he does. He loves this podcast. Listen,
I planned a whole day around thinking we were going to Zoom call, and then you ditched me. Like, listen, fool me once. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to fool me again, Channing. Not going to fool me again.
That's the phrase.
Yep. Thank you so much. All right. Well, obviously, we're all experts on this topic. Yes. We're all ready to talk strippers and film.
I think I am so ready. John Marker, do you want to play a game?
Yeah.
John Marker is like anything to get out of this chaos.
Yes, absolutely. So inspired by Magic Mike, I was thinking about male strippers in film. And you know, Magic Mike takes all the credit, but there have been other stripping scenes with men. So this game is called Magically Stripped or Tragically Dipped. It's easy. I'm going to give you the name of an actor, and you tell me if he has performed stripping in a film. It's just that easy. So magically stripped or tragically dipped? First one, Ben Affleck. Magically stripped or tragically dipped?
No, wait. I have to ask. Do you mean like they did a scene where they were a stripper? It wasn't just like he was in the room and was like,
wow, this wow. This is a great clarifying question because I did have a standard in my mind, which was that they stripped for an audience.
Okay.
It wasn't necessarily they were professionally strippers in this film, but they were stripping for hooting and hollering people.
I mean, Ben Affleck definitely does not strike me as like a dancery type. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I gonna go no, dipped.
Dipped. He magically stripped. In Forces of Nature, he ran out of money with Sandra Bullock on a road trip. Only way to get it was to strip. And the manic pixie Sandra Bullock, which is not a good role for her, taught him how to strip before.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Good. That's very nice.
It's a heartwarming tale, really.
All right. What about Miles Teller?
Oh boy, I know Whiplash. I know he's in that new Godfather. Mm-hmm. Miles, I'm gonna go dipped again.
Correct. All yes, right. He did not strip in Whiplash or The Offer. or the Top Gun Maverick probably came closest, but not really. Michael Keaton, tragically dipped or magically stripped?
I feel like there's probably an old 80s movie where he stripped. I'll go stripped.
Nailed it. He strips in Mr. Mom. 1983's Mr. Mom.
Love that movie.
Nail. Tyson Beckford.
Don't know who that is.
Wow.
I'm very bad with names too, but is it something big that I would know?
I think you would recognize his face. But
has he ever been in a movie where he's stripped?
That's what I'm asking you. Clever though.
I'll go stripped.
He did in Chocolate City. He's a very hot model guy. So
Yeah.
He was in, are you familiar with Britney Spears, the Toxic video?
A very familiar.
He's driving with her on that motorcycle.
Okay. I can visualize that. Very good looking.
Yeah. Very good looking. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a third thing we've discovered on this podcast already. Mm-hmm. Dev Patel.
I'm going to say dipped.
Correct. But he is going to be in an upcoming Chippendales movie, but not playing a stripper, playing the guy that opened the club.
Good, good, good.
Interesting. Christopher Walken.
Dipped. No way.
He'd stripped in Pennies from Heaven.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Gotta rewatch that one.
He can dance. We've seen it. Michael B. Jordan.
I mean, if he hasn't stripped, he certainly should. Mm-hmm. And that's a guy. I'm going to say stripped.
It is a guy.
I'm going to say stripped.
He dipped, but you get a point for being right that he should.
He should. Yeah. It's got to happen eventually.
We'd like to shout out Michael B. If you are looking at any scripts, maybe a stripping thing. You know, we don't know. All right. Simu Liu.
Okay.
He was in the Shang-Chi film.
I say no. Dipped.
He dipped so far.
Well, did we all see the Instagram video of him ripping off the Ranger shirt the other day?
I did, because I'm in a group chat with you. But I don't know that doesn't meet my criteria.
It met my criteria.
But thank you. Again, these clarifying questions are very important. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I appreciate them.
Let me know if you need me to send you the link again, just so you can review the footage.
It doesn't disappear. As I've told you, our group texts, they don't disappear. I keep trying to convince you that stuff is permanent. All right, only two left. Jake Gyllenhaal,
I feel like he likes to do these weird indies. I feel like stripped. He had to have done one.
Yes, Sin Jarhead. Great call. And finally, John Goodman.
I feel like some episode of Roseanne, the later seasons, where they ran out of ideas. They said, oh, they're not going to make their electric bill this month. He had to become a stripper. Stripped.
No, he dipped. But I again have to give you points for logic, because I am surprised that didn't happen. They're still going on the Connor. So
it's not too late.
They still don't have any money. They still have no money.
Connor, stripper. It could happen.
I'm interested to see it. I think that John Goodman can move.
Oh, he's shown us he can move. I believe he'd be good.
Well, thank you, Gianmarco, for playing Magically Stripped or Tragically Dipped. You did great. Your logic was always on point.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Excellent job showing your work, truly. Well, I think we are getting a phone call from ABC to ask us for more specific notes about Dan Connor stripping on the Connors. So we got to talk to these executives real quick, but we'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, the folks at ABC seem really thirsty for this play. So keep an eye out for it next season. And regardless of what it says on the credits, just know that the three of us, we came up with it.
Yeah, we use weird pen names sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Speaking of something else we've come up with, Caitlin, your thesis this week is important.
Okay, thank you. I would like to talk to you guys about what I really believe very strongly now, which is that there needs to be a sequel to Striptease. Striptease 2. Here's why. So the movie, if you don't remember, was from 1996, starred Demi Moore. It wasn't great. I've seen it. It's not amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And with G.I. Jane, which, by the way, I don't think needs to be remade or has a sequel in any way, kind of ended Demi's supremacy at the box office. At the time of Striptease, she was the highest paid actress ever. Not even just at the time, but ever. She was getting $12.5 million a movie. And she, as Lauren and I know because we've read her book, mm-hmm. the way she sort of approaches movie making is sort of to tell a story. Like, that's her big thing. It's like, I want to tell the story of. And that is no surprise to me that then she came up with the stripper point of view. But mm-hmm. I think the movie has some issues. Number one, it's too, like, zany. Like, the plot is about blackmailing Burt Reynolds, who plays a congressman, and it's like she has to be a stripper because her ex-husband has sort of framed her and she can't get other types of work and she has to support her daughter. It's just like too complicated. Like, just be a stripper. I think, though, this movie was like a little ashamed of itself, though, at the time, and I think it would come out louder and prouder these days. I think one thing, you had the specter of Showgirls and how, even though that's not really a stripper, but a sexual dancing movie that was widely made fun of and had this cultural event. So Striptease was going to have to be really good to get noticed, and it wasn't. But it's frustrating because in the 90s, you had more either dramatic or male-led movies about stripping or sex work. The Full Monty and Boogie Nights, which also had Burt Reynolds, come to mind. Mm-hmm. And those were critically acclaimed, like, Best Picture nominees. The Full Monty was nominated for Best Picture, I do believe. Mm-hmm. And Striptease just couldn't, it sort of melted under all that weight, I think. And, like, I don't know if you guys have seen it. There is, like, feminist moments in it. It's kind of ham-fisted. Like, Demi Moore, like, stands up to the club owner because the coasters are kind of gross. And she's like, these are sexist. And it's like, I don't know. The coasters, maybe. I don't know. So I think this movie needs to come back. Number one, we want Demi back. I think everything Demi has done, people get so excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a much more welcoming world to this type of content, as we saw with Hustlers. People were so excited about Hustlers. And it, like, people went crazy for it. And it's, of course, starred J-Lo, who was, what, 46 at the time or whatever. That doesn't matter anymore. And I think that it would be a chance to see different types of women do this. I don't think that the characters should be as, like, forced to strip. Obviously, it's still a job, so we're all forced to have jobs in that way. But, like, not as, like, this is every reason why she can't do another job sort of logic. And this is what I think the plot should be. And based ripped from the headlines, like, I'm a dang Law and Order, I think it should be about the strippers unionizing. You may have read that in Los Angeles, strippers are on strike. because they are attempting to unionize. Mm-hmm. And it's a really interesting story and how they like it, how their customers support them or don't. It's interesting. So that is what I'm really pitching Striptease 2, starring Demi Moore. The topic is unionizing a strip club. Mm-hmm. I believe they were in Florida in the first one. And you know what? We can keep that. Florida has a lot of weird stuff going on all the time. And they love strippers there. So I don't want to take that away from them. It's their culture. So what do you guys think of Striptease 2?
Wow. Wow.
I've never seen Striptease 1, but I think based on I like Demi Moore.
Yeah.
And I think strippers is a great, listen, it takes a lot of skill.
I think we're
entering a new world of, OnlyFans isn't the same thing as stripping, but we've entered mm-hmm. a new world of mm-hmm. like, how do we use sex? Jobs are being automated. Maybe that's part of it, is all the jobs are automated. So no one needs to work anymore.
Mm. I like the competition aspect, because if you're Demi and you're good at the dancing and all that mm-hmm, stuff, mm-hmm. but then that goes away, because a lot of OnlyFans is just girl next door types hanging out with you.
Sure.
It's because that's, oh my gosh, that is another way times have changed. People feel so isolated. And then mm-hmm. what is that? What her daughter from the first film, who was played by Rumor Willis, could be an OnlyFans girl. And it's generational.
I like that. What if it's they make artificial intelligence stripper like IBM makes a Watson. Like a Watson for Jeopardy, but Watson for stripping. And it's one of those, like, what was that famous story? The guy, he's like competing with a computer to build a railroad. And he beats the machine. Like someone who strips so hard, they spin so fast, they die ultimately, but they won.
Okay, I like final. This. I like this, but this is Striptease 3, because now we're going to go into Rocky territory.
Wow.
Where this is Demi's Rocky, and tonally, each movie can be wildly different.
I like that.
Yes, this is it. And you know what? Sly Stallone should be in this film now that we bring this up.
But OnlyFans, I could see like the way that like live comedians like go like people who are just TikTok and Instagram. It's like, well, that's not real. Like there could be like a balance of like an OnlyFans, they get all this fame and she goes like, let's do a live strip battle. And there's like a back and forth. And it's like, oh, with no edits, how is it going to go?
Oh my God, yes.
I'm kind of mad. I'm once again mad that we've created something that I can't go watch. Like, I want to watch this so badly.
Right. And we have more, like, I think more opportunities for, look, who's there? Comedians to be in this movie, because comedians can play more of the, you know, the TikTokers of mm-hmm, it all mm-hmm, and commenting mm-hmm. on it. Having TikTokers, like, comment on the battle that's ongoing. Like in a sports movie where you see the sort of like sports center type guy give you an update of what's going on. This is okay. This is one of our best ideas ever. I am so excited.
Like she could, maybe Demi finds, you know, someone who's like sexually a little bit like repressed and uh-huh, in exchange uh-huh. for her, like teaching her how to like make TikToks and captions mm-hmm. and videos. Demi like teaches her how to like embrace her own version of sexuality. And it's this exchange of like technology and the real world. And it's just like a blending of these two things. And I like the idea of like, you know, Demi is an older woman, but she's like, sex is power. You know, you can still be sexy at any age.
Oh, yeah.
It's very empowering. And then she goes, these coasters are sexist.
They bring that back. You know who needs to be in this movie? I'm the funniest person in the world, and I know that they take pole dancing classes from Instagram. Nicole Byer.
She did for the promo for her Netflix special. She did like a strip thing wearing a hamburger. Like,
she can bring that or not. It's not my call.
It is hard. I've taken pole dancing class a couple times. It's really hard.
I would think it'd be really hard. Yeah.
It's like emotional. Like that's more why I did it. Like, can I try to be sexy without being silly about it? And I cannot.
Yeah.
I cannot.
That's tough. I think it would be hard.
So what is the lesson learned from your foray into it? Like, what do you need most? Is it core support? What would you say to someone trying to walk in?
There weren't that many guys in the class. Don't get me wrong, but I think I make the mistake that a lot of men and everyone where like I relied on my upper body for the moves. Mm-hmm. And within 5 minutes, my arms were shot.
Yeah.
And it's about the legs. It's getting the legs in there.
Yeah.
And then the other part's just deep and emotional, and you have to confront yourself and be like, what does it mean to be sexy?
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'll just chicken out. I won't even do it.
I think that's another striptease, right? One man's journey to find his sexiness. Right.
Okay, that's one we're doing for HBO Max. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's striptease man's journey.
One man's journey. And Demi's just like this wise sage that he goes to for like lessons.
Yeah.
I like that.
And the family needs a new franchise. Because
right? Yeah.
We love him. Bruce Willis is not working anymore. As a family, they probably have enough money, but like we can't be sure.
Yeah, we can't be sure. We don't, you know, it seems like a lot of money went into the carpet in her bathroom. So
there's a lot going on there. That's true. Well, we're doing all we can, Lauren. We bought those books.
Oh yeah.
Wait, maybe I got it from the library. Never mind. Oh God, I cheated her.
All right. Well, I'm excited for all of the stripteases. Striptease 2 through 22. I'll be there for all of them.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Well, you know, in the spirit of developing properties, Gianmarco, I know that not only are you a fabulous comedian, but you have a theater background.
Mm.
And I assume J-Lo heard that Jennifer Hudson EGOTed. I just have to imagine that she got no rest knowing that Jennifer Hudson is EGOTed. And so I have to imagine that Jennifer Lopez is thirsty for her EGOT and she's going to bring Hustlers to Broadway. And she was looking over her notes. She was looking at the call sheet and she thought to herself, you know what? I got to call up Gianmarco.
She's looking over the call sheet.
Mm-hmm. Because I assume that's how all great Hollywood to Broadway projects are developed. And so
she's like cleaning out a desk. She's like, oh, right. I forgot. I printed this out.
Yeah. So this game is called Hustlers Goes Broadway because, like Channing Tatum before her, J-Lo is producing her film into live theater infamy. But you, Gianmarco, have been called up and you are going to be the lead producer. And so I have a series of six questions I'm going to ask you in order to bring this show to life. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Amazing. Question number one. Will this be a live theatrical experience a la Magic Mike Live or a prestige Broadway musical a la Gypsy?
I think
a la Gypsy.
You're going to have to, if you want this to sell,
mm-hmm.
You got to make it a little bit interactive.
Mm-hmm,
I've been part of some very bad interactive shows in my day.
Okay.
But I feel like if you're going to do a strip club, you got to do, and my sister went to the Magic Mike show in Vegas. So I know they bring up a person and they grind and all these things. And mm-hmm. I think you're going to have to give some lap dances. I think there's going to be like an interactive front row.
Okay.
Front row gets the lap dances.
All right. So Hustlers is going the way of Magic Mike Live. We love this. Now, who do you think will anchor this Broadway show? Are we going to call up people from the film? Are we going to bring in Broadway? Are we going to find relative unknowns? Like, who are going to be the stars that help us get this greenlit and funded?
I mean, J-Lo's a tough one. She definitely was mm-hmm. not free to do this. She's not. She's not going to give a lap dance to a stranger. That's for sure.
No, unfortunately.
But she's tough to replace. When she walked in that room, J-Lo, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, wow, that's a movie star. That's a movie star. Gosh, who is of J-Lo's ability? Because she has maturity. She mm-hmm, has a little bit mm-hmm. of like, she's been there. She's done that. She's still got it. But she's a little tired. She's trying to figure out what's on the other side of this. Oh God! You saw. I don't know the actors' names.
That's fine.
Who's a J-Lo energy? She's like she doesn't get along with Shakira, right? Shakira and her seem to have some kind of beef.
Yeah, I think Shakira. That's right.
Too bad.
Oh, okay.
Shakira. So all right. Yeah, so bring the heat.
All right, bring the heat. All right. So this is going to star Shakira. Now, are we going to be getting an original score? Or is this all new music, or is it going to be known favorites?
Oh, a jukebox. Wow.
I feel like this is where like Lin-Manuel would be willing to do it. And it's going to be like, it's going to be rough. It's not going to be his most lauded show.
Okay.
There's going to be some questions. Was he really the right voice to capture a female driven musical about women's plight in the stripping industry?
This is really like the most insane mash I've ever heard played.
This is fair. I love it. You know what? I love that it's grounded in reality. All right. So Lin-Manuel is penning this original score. What is the title of the 11 o'clock number?
All right. Let's see. I mean, it's definitely a movie about like, it's a little bit of money porn. There's like a little bit of like rich, like look at their wealth.
Money.
So there's got to be something like when the money... Something money don't buy happiness, like something. And he adds that like he makes the grammar bad just for money don't buy smiles.
Money don't buy smiles. Wow. Okay. Now this is a toughie, but I know you're up to the challenge. Listen, the New York Times just dropped its review of the show. What is the title of that review?
Dollar. That's all this is worth. $3.
Wow. Scathing. Well, wildly, despite Lin-Manuel getting canceled for his original composition of the show, and despite the Times panning it, people loved it. And shockingly, Hustlers, the American musical adventure, has won the Tony. And you, John Marco, as their lead producer, get to give a 45-second acceptance speech on behalf of the entire Hustlers and musical team. Are you ready to give your Tony speech?
Yeah, sure.
Amazing. Whenever you're ready, the clock has begun.
When I got cast as man in glasses in the movie Hustlers, I think a part of me knew I would someday be the lead producer on a musical version of this movie. I find that after taking two pole dancing classes, I understood what it means to be a woman, not only in stripping, but in America. And I'm just so glad with my dear friend Lin-Manuel could bring more feminism to Broadway and to show that ladies, stripping might be fun, but it don't buy smiles. Thank you, everyone.
Wow. I love this, Charity.
This was amazing. That's going viral. You're a huge hit at the Tonys, and everybody wants you to back their next project. That's incredible. Wow. Well, I think we need to take a break because I'm hearing that actual Tony award-winning producers are already hearing about Hustlers the Musical and want to invest. So we gotta go help John Marco get the best deal, and we'll be right back. All right, we are back. The deals have been made. Be sure to tune into the Tony Awards 2023 to see how this all shakes out. I just want to take a moment to actually do something that I haven't traditionally done on this show. And it's circled back to something that was once a Stan of the Week.
Oh, wow. Now, it's grown.
Way back last summer, when we had Matt Rubano, comedian, bassist, all around lovely gent on the show, we talked about movies that rocked. And that week, I had just seen my first movie in a movie theater since lockdown. And that movie was a movie about strippers called At Zola. Did either of you see this movie, At Zola?
No, I still have it.
Zola, the one based on the tweet.
Yes, it is the black comedy.
I did see it.
Amazing. So you already know then that it is an incredible film. It was written by Jeremy O'Harris, and it is one of the most delightful films I have seen in a long time. It was a huge hit at Sundance Film Festival back in 2020, and it was put out by A24. And as John Berger said, it is the story
brought to life of a series of tweets that a woman named Zola posted about a weekend she spent in Tampa, Florida, trapping. She was a stripper in Detroit, met a girl named Stephanie, and went down to earn some cash. And oh boy, does this movie have some wild twists and turns. And the biggest plot twist of them all is that it really did not get a ton of critical acclaim. It was well received, and you know, the reviews were good. The only awards it won was it won the Pioneers Award for the Black Film Critics Circle. Cool. It won Outstanding Supporting Actor at the Black Reel Awards, and it won Best Female Lead at the Independent Spirit Awards, Best Editing at the Independent Spirit Awards. The Palm Springs International Film Festival gave it the Creative Impact Award. And that's where the wins end. There were a handful of other nominations here and there, but none of the big ones. We didn't get a Globe. We didn't get an Oscar. We didn't get what really mattered. And so my thesis is a statement today that I will not back down from. And that statement is, we need to retroactively give At Zola at least an Oscar nomination, if not a full-blown Oscar, because the casting is perfect. The dialogue is fantastic. The pacing, no notes. It's super stylized with incredible art direction, and the overall tone and direction of the film just really captures the spirit of the insanity of something going viral on top of the bizarre world building of the story. And so I guess this is just me, one, asking Caitlin to finally watch the movie. It's been a year.
Yeah, I know. Good point.
And two, John Marco, do you agree? Do you disagree? And you know, would you sign my petition to get At Zola at minimum a nomination, if not an Academy Award retroactively?
I'll go with you on the nomination. I think the ending, I forget exactly what happened, but it ended abruptly in a way that I was like, oh yeah, it's based on a true story. It ended just kind of like, fine. I wanted something more explosive happen, but then it wouldn't be real. So I admire it. I admire it. I do agree that like the cast, the actors were on point.
So on point. Good.
Especially, is his name Domingo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Domingo. Oh, he was good. Charming and then like terrifying.
Yeah. It's just such an incredible dichotomy of just like the worst characters, but they're just also still likable. Like, you just want it. I'm like, yeah, I get why she got in this car and went to Tampa. Why not?
Yeah.
I want to party with this crew, as terrifying as it is, and as surely as I would die. I'm like, yeah, I see how you end up there.
It's interesting, as you point out, that it got some awards that might lead to bigger noms, and then it gets stopped. Do you think it was like the topic? Do you think it was like racism, sexism, or all these things together? Or
I think it's all of those things. Plus, I think it's the kind of movie that really got impacted by the lack of socialization happening in movie theaters, right? Because I also think like the movie got made in the first place because people were telling, were like retweeting it and sharing it, right? I don't think people were going to this movie last summer and then dragging five of their friends to go see it the next summer.
Sure. Yeah.
Or the next weekend. Like, case in point, as much as I loved it, I never got you to go see it because people really weren't going a ton. So I think it was, you know, another victim of the COVID-19 pandemic.
One might say the greatest victim. Yeah. Of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, I would say.
The worst thing to have come of the pandemic.
Yeah, probably. You know,
I feel like y'all are joking, but I feel like we're not that far off. I think it is really upsetting. But certainly it's racist. And it's. But I also think there's a little bit to something you said, John Marco, where like, I think a lot of people didn't give it a chance because they're like, oh, it's that Twitter story.
Gotcha.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Seems disposable.
The Academy's always going to dismiss sex. I mean, if something's too sexy, they're just going to go like, oh, this is filth.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way the Academy dismisses comedy and I'm performing a stand-up at a strip club tonight. These things are closely aligned. They deal with some base desires. And so sometimes they get dismissed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like, it's unfortunate because then people miss the whole point that like, it wasn't, I mean, like, yes, it's telling the story of these sex workers in a very specific sort of world, but it's also just such a beautiful sort of love letter, but also like condemnation of social media and the time we live in. Because exactly to your point, John Marco, like, I kind of hated it. The ending was frustrating, but at the same time, it's like, but that is Twitter. Like, no other movie I've ever seen has like taken me on the journey of watching something go viral and then just like how it just like evaporates so quickly, right? Like,
yeah.
Right? Because it's like, I don't know, it reminded me a couple of years ago, I had a friend who posted something that went viral. And for like a couple of hours, it was just like, oh my God, everyone was like talking about it. And it was posting. And then like, I think I like turned on a movie or something and then like put my phone away. And when I came back, I was like, and we're all bored. It's over. It's just done. And there was no real resolution because everybody else got hungry and went to make dinner or something. You know what I mean? Like, it is, there was just some things to me. I think the thing I loved about it more than anything else was I was like, oh, you like captured the pacing of that internet sensation in a way that I haven't seen anyone else do successfully to that level. And I just really liked that. It was sort of like being on a roller coaster, you know, got that heart palpitation going. And then I just went around the park eating snacks the rest of the day. That's my thesis. I don't know. That's all
that's
I have.
Like a really, I love it. Well, you have convinced me. I had totally forgotten about the film, to be honest.
I had a feeling. You hadn't said anything in a while. And I was like, you know, we talk every single day. And she hasn't once talked about At Zola. And I had a feeling, John Marco, that I could count on you as a connoisseur of comedy and strippers in film. I knew I could count on you to have seen it.
Yeah. I met Jeremy Harris way back in the day. So I was going there to not like it. Mm. You know, one of those watches.
And, yeah, of course.
And sadly, I enjoyed myself.
Real shame. That's really proof that it's good.
Yeah.
It had to really excel.
To be willing to say I wanted to hate it, but I didn't. Yeah, that tells
me. That's a horrible feeling. I do feel bad for you.
I'm so sorry that happened. Yeah, that is a hard feeling. Definitely. Well, before we wrap up, are there any strippers films that we didn't get to tonight that you're like, you love? Any iconic moments of stripping that you're like, this really shaped me as an artist, as a human? Anything you want to say about stripping in film that we haven't gotten to?
I just think a lot. I mean, it's not a movie, but I always think about Chris Farley, famously his Chippendales. Yeah. And it's like, Chris Farley, just no one commits to that degree. And it's that same thing where like, that's why I went to that pole dancing class, was to be like, can I do this? And Chris Farley just like went for it.
Yeah.
And in that moment, he seems like he has no fear, no shame. And obviously he was had a lot of things he was dealing with. But in those moments, you're like, you're a genius.
Oh, yeah.
It was just amazing. So that's the one I thought about the moment we talked about stripping. I just think about Chris Farley next to a Chippendales dancer who's jacked.
Yeah.
And Chris Farley just like being so good.
Yeah. Patrick Swayze.
Oh, right.
We lost them both.
Well, and we lost both of them. And like, I wonder, do you think if we hadn't lost Chris Farley so young, do you think we would have gotten to see the film of that character? Like, do you think we would have gotten a Chippendale dancer film eventually?
Wow.
I think so. I mean, someone pointed out we would have to watch him in like Grown Ups 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
In exchange
for
that.
It would be a better
that.
One.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I watched one of those over the COVID break and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy that this was put on film. But yes, I think Chris Farley would have done something like that.
Right. I just feel like he would have had to. It felt like, as much as he starred in a lot of those movies that he did with Spade, like it was still like a two-hander of him and Spade. Like, I feel like he was destined to have his moment, his movie without Spade, right? Maybe Spade has a cameo, but like he needed to do his thing, right?
Wasn't Magic Mike 2, I don't think I saw it, but wasn't Gabriel Iglesias in that?
Oh, yeah.
I think like that would have been like Chris Farley, but he would have stripped. I don't think Gabriel stripped in that, but like he would have been the bus driver that like no one's there. And the crowd's going is upset. They're about to leave, and he goes, "All right." And he goes up, and then when the sexy guys come out, they go, "Boo!
Yeah,
boo! We want more Chris."
Oh my God, it's kind of like in Drop Dead Gorgeous when all the beauty queens get food poisoning, and so Kirsten Dunst sort of advances by default, one of those things, right? All of the sexy strippers decide to eat at the buffet at the gas station, and uh-oh.
Those are real moments, by the way. Mm-hmm. I have a comedy club, and the only reason I got bumped from host to feature was the feature, something happened. He forgot who he was in the middle of his set and had to be escorted off the stage. And what? It was wild. It was wild. Went to the hospital. It was very scary because he drove us terrifying. There too. But people would ask me back then, they'd say, how do I bump up to a feature at Bananas in Hasbrook right. Heights, New Jersey? And I was like, you can never recreate it.
Yeah.
That's how people advance.
That is so wild. Do you feel like, John Marco, that with your two classes of strip dancing, if the moment presented itself and they needed a stripper last minute, would you be able to step in the same way Chris Farley stepped in?
I definitely could like put on a show. If I if I really had to do it, I would definitely get like drunk or stoned. I would have to do something. I'd have to do something to myself.
Okay.
But like I think I could put on a show. I think like after 20 seconds, all my moves would have been done and I would just be repeating. Like there's a certain point. It's like, how many circles can you do? How many bend and scoops can you do? But, I'd love to go for it. If someone offered me a role where I had to like study to be a stripper, 100% in. That interests me very much.
All right.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, I love that. Gianmarco, if that EP is listening, where can they follow you to learn more?
My OnlyFans is Gianmarco. You know, they keep trying to do comedy content on OnlyFans, and I'm like, guys, I it's not happening. So I'm everywhere. Gianmarco Cerezi, at Gianmarco Cerezi. Instagram, TikTok, all the things. And then my podcast is called The Downside.
Yeah.
The Downside. Check it out.
There's no downside to listening to The Downside, so you got to go check it out.
There you go. It's just that simple. Well, Stan, you can find us, as you know, at We Stan Social. Follow us, DM us, let us know other guests and topics you'd like us to approach.
And definitely be sure to slide into our DMs when you have watched Father of the Bride, starring Gloria Estefan, coming to HBO Max on June 16th, because I will be so excited to talk to you.
I'm glad Time Warner is finally getting the names of some of their properties out there.
You know, we have to do our part to help independent film. We're just elevating indie artists left and right. Well, Stans, this has been another deeply unsettling foray into the bowels of pulp culture, but we love it. We love it so much. And Gianmarco, thank you so much. You've given me a lot to think about in terms of what I need to do to prepare for my moment before I get on stage, because I would certainly just be doing a lot of circles at this point. And now I know I got to vary it.
All right, we're going to look up some YouTube tutorials. Until then, see you next time, Stance Dance. Bye.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.